Shikrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We just sung the Kirtan by Lochandas, beginning with the words Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai. This description of Nityananda Prabhu given by Lochandas Thakur is taken from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. In which Madhai prays to Nityananda as Akrodha Paramananda Rai. This prayer of Madhai to Nityananda was in praise of Nityananda Prabhu for his great quality of forgiving the terrible offense that Madhai committed against him. By throwing a wine pot at Nityananda's head, he's so pure, he doesn't know, never thinks of wine. And that hit Nityananda's head and caused bleeding. Wine pot means that in those days they didn't have commercially produced, mass produced in bottles, but we just been just like now we keep water in a kalash, so it'd be like that, but it said it had wine instead of water inside it, in a clay pot. And throwing a clay pot with the intention to hurt someone is pretty bad in any circumstances. To throw it at Nityananda Prabhu is worse than throwing it at anyone ordinary. And the fact that it was a wine pot, wine being considered extremely contaminating, makes the whole thing extremely offensive. And it was so offensive that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on hearing this, he rushed to the scene, and although he's not really supposed to, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he invoked his Sudarshan Chakra to separate the head of Madhai from his body. But Nityananda Prabhu restrained Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that, well, if you kill him, then you forget your whole avatar of saving the fallen, because in this Kali Yuga, everyone's very fallen, and you're going to have to do a lot of head cutting. That doesn't happen until he comes as Kalki. So, at this time, we're supposed to, you remember, we're supposed to be delivering them, not killing them. Now we went a bit off that way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Mahavadanya Avatar, the most munificent descent. But practically, the lifting up the most fallen, that was done more by Nityananda Prabhu. And that's described in this song, how he would go door to door among the most fallen people. People from the Brahmana class, they don't go in the area where the very sinful people live. They'll never go there. They might go, they can go to the areas of, there's no restriction for a Brahmana to go to the area of a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, maybe even a Shudra, but not that of the Chandalas. But Nityananda Prabhu would go to all the areas, and not only would he go there, he would beg bhiksha from them, which Brahmanas, they don't beg bhiksha from very sinful people. And he would beg the bhiksha of, he'd say, now I've come to beg something from you, that is, I'm begging that you worship Krishna, chant the name of Krishna, and turn off your cell phone. I'm begging from you. It's no use to tell you because it doesn't work. I can only beg you. And to learn about Krishna. So, akrodha. Akrodha, well, that's obvious. It means no anger. Now, that word could be said, the normal way of saying that would be to say shanta, or peaceful. But it's especially emphasizing the point that even in a situation where of great provocation, where no one would fault you for becoming angry, you would be considered a normal, natural, and not inappropriate response to become angry with someone who's much inferior to you. Who attacks you when you're trying to help them. Nityananda had gone to Jagai and Madhai, the two infamous drunkards, to uplift them, to give them Krishna Naam. But Madhai responded in the most heinous manner. But Nityananda showed his extreme tolerance by not becoming angry and still trying to deliver that person, even though Madhai had shown himself to be the most ineligible person for Krishna consciousness. That when he was humbly approached by Nityananda to chant, and he responded by attacking him and causing grievous injury. Now, Srila Prabhupada several times quoted this tolerance of Nityananda in relation to the famous teaching of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahirihi. This chanting Hare Krishna is the easy part. Feeling oneself to be as low as grass, that's very difficult. And to be as tolerant as a tree, that's also not so easy. It's easy to talk about. So Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Nityananda Prabhu, and he said that all preachers have to be very tolerant. Because we can expect that the people that we go amongst, who we try to uplift, that among them some will be so obnoxious, even if you don't know what it means, you can work it out, so nasty, that they will respond in a nasty manner. So a devotee has to be very tolerant when preaching. And Srila Prabhupada often gave the example. Yeah, he said that without being tolerant, one cannot be a preacher. And he often gave the example in this regard of Nityananda Prabhu tolerating the atrocious behavior of Madhai. And how by Nityananda Prabhu, by his tolerance and compassion, was able to uplift Madhai. So tolerance is a great quality of a saintly person, and that is to be augmented by compassion. If one is simply tolerant, well, that is very good. If one tolerates the bad behavior of others towards oneself, that is very good. But over and above that, if one is so compassionate that one tries to act for the greatest benefit of persons who are themselves acting in a manner meant for our own greatest harm, that is compassion. That is superlative compassion. So Nityananda is the great example of that. He is Akrodha Paramananda. He's Nityananda means eternal bliss, obviously. And Paramananda means the highest bliss. So the kind of ananda, spiritual ananda, that Nityananda comes to this world to bestow on all of us, that ananda, that bliss, has the quality of being supreme, the highest bliss, and of being unending. So he's always absorbed in this highest bliss. That is, of course, premananda. That is not the bliss or so-called happiness of this material world. Ha ha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Narottam Das. Praise to Nityananda Prabhu, that you are always absorbed in the bliss of prema. Now, there are many anecdotes of Nityananda Prabhu which are recounted. Not udaharan, it's more like anecdote means chinna prakhyanam, small story. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sri Chaitanya Mangal, ityadi Chaitanya Vishayak Pustakam. Among them is the incident of how Nityananda Prabhu with his followers was traveling in Bengal on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach Krishna consciousness, as is described in this other song that we just sung, Nitai Guna Mani Ama. He went all over Bengal bringing a flood of love of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvipa. He left Bengal due to the misbehavior of many people toward him, particularly the class of Parava Adham, which means the very low students, who thought they were very high Brahmins, but they are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as Parava Adham, because they dared to criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they even threatened to beat him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Bengal, and after wandering in various parts of India for 6 years after accepting sannyasa, he settled in Puri Dham. And every year, devotees would come from Bengal to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the time of Rath Yatra, and they would stay there for 4 months during Chaturmas. So, on one such occasion, when the devotees were preparing to return to Bengal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda, "You don't come here anymore. You don't come to see me in Puri. Your presence is needed in Bengal. You have to preach there." So on that order, Nityananda Prabhu was wandering throughout Bengal, village to village. Mostly in those days, people lived in villages, not huge metropolises. There were no huge metropolises. So one time, Nityananda, he reached the village of Ramachandra Khan, the village in which one person called Ramachandra Khan lived, and he was the zamindar, or the landlord, that's sometimes translated as landlord, although it's not exactly a correct translation, of several villages. You can just say zamindar. I think that word is still known, even though the zamindari system has been more or less abolished everywhere throughout India. But it was there for many years. I think the Muslims first set that up. And it may even have antecedent in the Vedic system with the Kshatriyas, actually. But the zamindar is not exactly like us. Anyway, so... Now, Ramachandra Khan was a Vaishnava hater. That's Vaishnava Dveshi. Yeah, that's the term that Vaishnava hater was the term that Srila Prabhupada used to describe him. Previously, Ramachandra Khan had committed severe offenses to Haridas Thakur. Nityananda and Haridas were the first preachers commissioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach Krishna consciousness everywhere. Usually the message of scripture is transmitted among the higher class of people, that means the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, and it may down to the shudras the shudras won't hear the Vedas, they won't hear the Shruti, but they can hear the Puranas, Mahabharat, and so on. Sri Shudra, what is that? Sri Shudra Dvija Bandhu Nam Traina Veda Gochara. Women, Shudras, and fallen members of the higher sections, they are not fit for hearing the Vedas, so they can hear the Puranas, but the Chandalas and all that, they don't even hear they're not even fit for hearing the Puranas. They're completely out. They have no standing whatsoever. But Nityananda Prabhu, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda and Haridas, they would prati gari gari. They would go to every house without discrimination that these people are not fit. They would go everywhere. So and they would give respect to people based on their Krishna consciousness. So Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur, although apparently born in a family of Muslims, was elevated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the platform of Nama Acharya. So a Muslim was called an Acharya, which to Orthodox Hindus at the time was considered a great offense. How can you have a Muslim who, the Muslims are inimical to the Vedic principles, they're cow killers, they killers of brahmanas, iconoclasts, they're the worst thing that ever happened to India according to the general outlook, which is probably true, until the British came. How could such a person be considered an acharya? That was the outlook of persons like Ramachandra Khan. Seeing that Haridas was getting so much respect from the populace, which was certainly proper because Haridas was actually a great saintly person. And actually some of the Muslims, the Sufis, they were also widely respected by the Hindus. But Haridas wasn't a Sufi, he was a great devotee of Krishna. Sufis there. Anyway, let's not talk about Sufis right now. So he was actually a saintly person. And many people, they recognize that. But Ramachandra Khan was a Hindu fanatic, you could say. Although, interestingly, the RSS nowadays, which is supposed to be Hindu fanatics, they're generally called Hindu fanatics, but they don't believe in the caste system at all. So Ramachandra Khan, he hatched a plot to make Haridas Thakur fall down. he sent a beautiful young prostitute to seduce Haridas. But the plot failed, and instead of Haridas falling down, the prostitute gave up her way of life and became a great devotee of Krishna. And the people also respected her, even though she used to be a prostitute. The people respected her because she had now become a great devotee by the mercy of Haridas. So Ramachandra Khan, he didn't like this at all. He's not only had he failed to make Haridas fall down, but the problem became more, because not only was Haridas respected, but so also was this ex-prostitute, who according to strict Hindu orthodoxy at the time, if someone is a Muslim, they couldn't become a Hindu. If one is a prostitute, there's no rectification for them. Their rectification was, they can burn in hell. That's all. So Ramachandra Khan was a great Vaishnava hater. And after some time, he got his dues for having been so offensive, because when Nityananda came with his group of preachers to the village of Ramachandra Khan, then Ramachandra predictably insulted Nityananda Prabhu also. He didn't come out of the house to greet him. Even to fail to greet a saintly person, it's a passive offense. You're not throwing wine pots at them, but to fail to properly greet them is an offense. So when a saintly person comes to the village, of course it may not be announced in advance, because the communications are not so technologically advanced. In fact, there was no technology of the modern kind at that time. So therefore, there's the concept of atithi, an unexpected, uninvited guest, someone who just turns up. So, it is the duty of householders and to accommodate, and it means to give residence to, and to feed such sadhus. They may not personally cook for them, but they would arrange for their cooking facilities, raw materials, tools for cooking, firewood, and all these things. That's for any guest, and especially a Brahmana guest, and especially for a wandering sadhu, as Nityananda. And generally such wandering sadhus, they, especially if they came in a group, they would go to the richest person in the village, because they wouldn't want to inconvenience the less wealthy members. So they came. So Ramachandra Khan, he didn't come out to greet Nityananda Prabhu, and he told his servants that you can accommodate them in the cow barn. They can stay in the cow house, in the goshala. In the Durga Mandap, the place that was used, it was in the Durga Mandap, the place that's set aside for worshipping Durga. which Shaktas, worshippers of Durga, like Ramachandra Khan, they would, especially on Durga Puja, and maybe on other days also, they would worship Durga there by bali, by animal sacrifice, such as killing a buffalo or a goat or a chicken. So it's not a very suitable place for Vaishnavas. So it was clearly insulting. And Nityananda Prabhu became angry. And he said, this place is not fit for a Vaishnava to... And he left the village, which became a great offense on the part of Ramachandra Khan, because a Vaishnava had come seeking accommodation, and due to ill treatment, he had left in anger. So it became a great offense for Ramachandra Khan, and as a result, some days after that, a Turk, that means, Turk means he was a Muslim who came from Turkey or Turkmenistan or somewhere like that. He's either an invader or a descendant of one of the invaders, and over some dispute over taxation, he destroyed, the Turk destroyed the whole village, and he killed a cow in the Durga Mandap. So it became a horrible scene. So this is what Ramachandra Khan got for his offense, to first to Haridas and then to Nityananda. So this is one instance of Nityananda becoming angry. And there are other instances described of his becoming angry. He is, after all, Balaram. Brajendra Nandan Jai Shachi Shruta Hoilo She Balaram O Hoilo Nitai. Who was the darling child of Yashoda has now come as the son of Shachi Devi, and Balaram has become Nityananda, and Balaram is famous for having a quick and hot temper. For instance, when he killed Rukma at the gambling match at the marriage of Aniruddha and Usha, and he smashed out the teeth of the king of Kalinga and like that. So similarly, Balaram, he became angry at Yamuna Devi when she refused to come close to him when he was apparently drunk. So Balaram has a temper, and Nityananda also exhibited that. For instance, Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he took a subordinate position to Shivananda Sen and was on the journey from Bengal to Puri, which Nityananda would continue to make even after being told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not to come. He would still come because he wanted to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he thought that seeing him is more important than following his order. That's for... So, Shivananda Sen would order the traveling party, who would walk, of course, from Bengal to Puri. And one time, Shivananda Sen was, due to circumstances, at the end of one day when they were all walking in the heat, would have been very hot at that season, they were walking all day, and Shivananda Sen was late in coming. He was delayed dealing with paying the taxes at the river where they had crossed, and he came late. Shivananda Sen came late, which means that Nityananda Prabhu and the others in the party were late getting their accommodation and food, because that was all arranged by Shivananda Sen. So when Shivananda eventually came, Nityananda stood up and gave him a hard kick in the chest. Seeing which, the nephew of Shivananda Sen, whose name I don't just now remember, became very upset, and Shrikant, and Shivananda, he became very happy. Thought, great, I got kicked by Nityananda. Because I hadn't served him properly, that means he accepts me as the person who's looking at, he's accepting my service. He didn't try to make his own arrangement. He didn't, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could just manifest palaces and meals on the spot. But he, out of love for Shivananda Sen, he took the position of being dependent on him. So, Akrodha Paramananda, he is described as being without anger. But we see practically in his pastimes, Nityananda often manifested anger. So what do we make of all of this? That he didn't become angry with Madhai, but he became angry with Ramachandra Khan, and he became angry with Shivananda Sen. However, this is all to be understood on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, of the blissful, spiritual mellows of love. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, you can say in, and then everyone can understand it according to their ability to understand. Otherwise, it's difficult to explain otherwise. So, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Nityananda Prabhu, there is no question of mundane anger in him. He's completely spiritual. He comes to this world to give us spiritual life. Spiritual life is often misunderstood to be nirvishesh, without any characteristics. And nirvisheshvadis, those who posit that the ultimate truth has no characteristics, they nevertheless promote they say to others, and they themselves try to set a model. Please don't leave your shoes exactly in front of the door, so that Gornitai has to have their darshan of the shoes, and we all have to step on them. So the Nirvisheshvadis, they try to cultivate good qualities, like not getting angry, not eating very much, unless you're Dalai Lama. Well, that's, and being nice, smiling at others, and so on. In the modern age, these qualities have been further embellished by opening hospitals and schools to teach people to become engineers and so on. So all these are considered good qualities by people who preach that ultimately the ultimate truth doesn't have any qualities, but anyway you should have good quality. But if the ultimate truth doesn't have any qualities, then why should they preach that you should have good qualities? Because it should be no qualities. And actually they have no qualities. They're all rascals for preaching that the ultimate truth has no qualities. They're envious of Krishna, who is the ultimate truth. It's not a good quality to stretch your leg before the deity. And it's a good quality to teach even young babies not to do this and not to show their feet toward the deity. They should be taught from the beginning of life, although it's troublesome to do so. But that's your duty as a parent or grandparent. Don't be surprised if the kids turn out to be badly behaved because you don't take the trouble to train them. So, we are not nirvisheshvadis. Everything, all qualities emanate from the ultimate truth. Janmadyasya yataha. Everything emanates from him. So, in the ultimate truth, there is anger. But that anger is not motivated by any material desire. In Srimad Bhagavatam, one ornamental word, alankarik shabda, for anger is given as kamanuja, which means the younger brother of lust. In other words, after kam comes krodha, kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhavaha. From material desire comes anger. And anger we can understand to cover a wide, the Sanskrit word anger can cover, apart from the normally understood term anger, that can also be understood to include frustration, which means a smoldering discontent because one's desires have not been fulfilled. So one becomes, in materialistic consciousness, a person becomes angry when their desire is not fulfilled. Just like you might kill your girlfriend, or someone might kill their girlfriend because she didn't want to be his girlfriend anymore. Or someone might kill the person they want to be their girl. They might kill the boyfriend of the girl who they want to be their girlfriend. Out of anger toward someone who they want to fulfill their desire. Or one may just have a general sense of anger against everything and therefore become what is called a vandal. You don't have, or a hooligan. You don't have any such a phenomenon has not occurred yet in Indian culture, of people who are just angry about everything. They're just discontent with the whole circumstance they're in, and therefore, for no reason in particular, without being provoked they will just find some people to beat up, or they'll just smash some windows or whatever. Meaningless violence. Vritta Hingsa, one of the attributes of Kali Yuga is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam to be Vritta Hingsa. Useless, meaningless violence. So this kind of anger, it arises from unfulfilled desire, karma. Or even if one's desire is fulfilled, the very nature of material consciousness is that people are full of material desires. They try to fulfill those desires. When they don't, when the desires are not fulfilled, they feel frustrated. Or even if the desire is fulfilled, still they feel unhappy because that's the nature of this material world. Durasha. One has desires, they're wrong desires, and even if they are fulfilled, one doesn't feel happy because there's no happiness in the material world. There's no happiness outside of Krishna Prema Sukh, the happiness of love of Krishna. So there is the idea, there is the durasha, the wrong hope, or that is described by Prahlad Maharaj also, who uses the term durasha. He also uses the word shuti sukha. We hear about it as being pleasurable, so we think that it will be something will be pleasurable. But actually, if we actually attain the object of our desire, we don't find it to be very pleasurable. There may be some immediate sensation of fulfillment or satisfaction, but very soon one feels dissatisfied. And then again one becomes frustrated and angry. So material anger arises from frustration that comes from karma. So krodha arises from karma, but Nityananda Prabhu has no material desire. He has spiritual desire. He has the spiritual desire to deliver everyone in the universe to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to release them from this world of misplaced desires, and to encourage everyone to be fully surrendered in pure love of Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu may become angry on that platform. That is not material anger. That's still a krodha. If krodha is understood to mean material desire, then Nityananda Prabhu is certainly a krodha. He's without material desire. He's without material anger. But he exhibits transcendental, blissful, worshipable spiritual anger. His anger at Ramachandra Khan is exactly appropriate, because Ramachandra Khan was an offender to Vaishnavas in general, and particularly he offended Haridas Thakur. So Nityananda Prabhu, as the lover and protector of his devotees, he became appropriately angry. To not become angry at someone who is offensive of Vaishnavas is in itself an offense. So such anger is desirable. devotees, Haridas and other devotees, they came to this world to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of giving Krishna consciousness to everyone. So to be envious of such devotees is a great offense, and therefore Nityananda Prabhu rightly became angry. The other example I gave of Nityananda Prabhu's anger, and there are others also, the other example is that of teach this boy not to stand with his back to the deer. You have to teach them everything. Not with his back to the deity. So the other is, he was angry at Sivananda Sen. Now he himself was angry at Sivananda Sen. How could he become, how he was angry at Ramachandra Khan for insulting a Vaishnava, for offending a Vaishnava, but it might appear that Nityananda, he himself performed a grievous offense to Sivananda Sen by kicking him in the chest. Sivananda Sen all these days had been doing his very best to serve Nityananda Prabhu and the others on the party, and it wasn't that he had deliberately delayed arranging accommodation and prasadam for Nityananda and others, but he was just caught in circumstances and he wasn't able to do so. And in fact, Srikanta Sen, the nephew of Sivananda Sen, took it that his uncle had become offended. But Sivananda, being a great pure devotee, he took it the other way. He took it as a he took it as a great boon from Nityananda. The wife of Sivananda Sen, when she heard the Nityananda cursed Sivananda Sen and said that he should go to hell and burn in hell. His wife hearing him, along with all his descendants, and his wife became very disturbed, Sivananda's wife, but Sivananda took it as a great blessing. So this anger, that's not material anger, that is an expression of his great love for his devotees, that he, like a child, he becomes, like Krishna became angry with Yashoda. Why is she not feeding me? I was sitting happily on her lap, taking milk from her breast, and she just put me aside and left me. And Krishna became angry. And out of this became the Damodar Lila. So Yashoda, she went to attend to the milk which she'd put on the stove for Krishna. But Krishna, in his transcendental lila of being a child, he didn't understand this and became angry. So Krishna's anger at Yashoda is based on Krishna having taken the position of being totally dependent on her. So in the same way, Nityananda, he became angry at Sivananda, and Sivananda, understanding everything properly, became very happy because he understood that now by kicking me in this way, Nityananda has accepted the position of being dependent on me. Even though he's the Supreme Lord, out of his love for me, he's accepted my service. So this is again akrodha. It's not material, mundane anger that is actuated by material desire. It is far, far above that. Nityananda Prabhu's anger at the non-devotees and at the devotees is worshipable. He didn't become angry at Madhai, who had performed a serious offense to himself, but he became very angry at Ramachandra Khan, who had offended, first of all, Haridas Thakur, and then you could say, well, he also offended Nityananda, but he offended not only Nityananda, but also he offended all the Vaishnavas in the company of Nityananda by rejecting them all. So this should all be understood very carefully, this transcendental rasa, and shouldn't be imitated. One shouldn't think, well, I'm a Vaishnava, so I'll get angry at everyone and they should be thankful to me. One shouldn't make such a crooked calculation. One shouldn't reason in that way. We see several times Srila Prabhupada would be angry and then he would just drop it. He would get angry to instruct his disciples. Or sometimes he would become, well, there's one instance I'm thinking of in which he became angry. And it didn't die down very quickly because it was some severe offense. What's going on now? What's happening? It's supposed to be Abhishek, then dressing, then offering bhog. It's just like you don't eat and then take a bath afterward. So we don't do that to Bhagawan either. Should be. You take your bath and then eat, not vice versa. Unless you're in New Vrindavan in the 1980s. They made that film of everyone taking prasadam and then going for a swim. We used to show that in Bangladesh and everyone thought that was very strange. Why should they go for a swim after eating? So what is going on now? I see. Okay. I won't get angry. Well, I can't guarantee I won't get angry. But not for this. So, anger, very similar to that, is karma. From karma comes krodha. And from ahankar comes dvesha. From egoism comes hatred. Dvesha, we can call hatred. It's ill feeling, but it's not. If we say someone has dvesha, it means not just some temporary ill feeling, but an attitude of a continuing feeling of dislike or malintent toward others. So ahankara means the sense of ahamkara, what makes I, what makes myself, how we identify ourself. So if we identify ourselves, for instance, as someone born in Pakistan might think that part of being a real, full, 100% Pakistani is hating India. They might think that. I'm sure not everyone there thinks that, but some people apparently do. And someone might think to be a real Hindu, you have to hate Muslims. So, from ahankara comes dvish and comes envy. When someone does something better than you, you become envious of them. There's similar words, dvesha, irsha, hingsa. Hingsa is more like the manifestation of irsha and dvesha. Sustained bad feeling towards others. So we should hear about Nityananda Prabhu and become purified, how he is reaching out to the lowest people, people whose whole existence is impure, with no... of course, everyone in the material world is impure, but Nityananda Prabhu would also go among the chandalas, which means those who would deal in skins of dead animals and impure by their very way of life, and dog eaters. I don't know if they're dog eaters, but that's in Navadvipa at that time, or in Bengal at that time, but it appears to have been, at least previously, on the, not exactly in Vedic culture, but on the outskirts of Vedic culture, Vedic civilization. That term, Shvapaki, appears in Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere, one who cooks, and it's understood by that that they eat dogs. Shvapaki means they cook and eat dogs. How do you say dog in Telugu? Shvakam. So, sura, kuka, like. I see. Shuna is also dog. Shuni, shva. Kukur, Sarameya, sounds like a nice word, but it means a dog. Sarameya, descendant of Sarama. So, Nityananda Prabhu, he would go among all classes of people. Extremely tolerant. How tolerant one should we be when we've already asked 3 times for cell phones to be turned off and still they go off? Should we exhibit some anger to warn others to turn off your cell phone? I suggest that on occasions like this we have someone at the door and just telling everyone, please take out your cell phone and turn it off, because there doesn't seem to be any other way. That's maybe the best way to do it, apart from having a big sign. Anger is a very bad quality. It's one of the 3 gates that lead to hell. Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kama krodhas tata lobhas tasmat etat trayantyajit. The 3 gates to hell, Krishna Bhagavan says in Bhagavad Gita, are lust, anger and greed. Therefore, one should give them up. So Nityananda Prabhu's anger is transcendental and worshipable, but we should be very careful so that we don't think that, well, I'm practicing devotional service, so I can be angry at others, I can maintain an attitude of dislike towards others, and it's all transcendental. Now, there is not only scope for, but it's actually required of Vaishnavas to be angry in some circumstances. If someone offends Krishna or his devotees, and a Vaishnava doesn't feel disturbed, then that so-called Vaishnava becomes a sharer in the offense. Monam sammati lakshanam. Silence indicates consent. So anger is required on occasion, but we should know what the appropriate occasion is. And not think that, well, we have a license just to get angry in all circumstances. We may think, well, I'm doing everything for Krishna. But often our egoism, as long as we're not fully on the pure platform, our egoism tends to mix with our intent to serve Krishna. So that doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean that Vaishnavas shouldn't be angry on occasion or should not express disapproval of others. In fact, Vaishnavas are required to express disapproval of offenders to Vaishnavas, of Mayavadis, and so on. But again, we have to be very careful. It's so easy to fall into a state of egoism in the name of devotional service, and to think that, well, I'm doing everything simply out of a transcendental motive. Srila Rupa Goswami describes, actually, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described to Rupa Goswami, how in the cultivation of devotional service, sometimes some weed can grow. The cultivation of devotional service is compared to the cultivation of a creeper. So, which a creeper, here not creeper, creeper, lata, you said the right word. Another word is vali. So that can go, our devotional service is supposed to grow up from this material sphere and go up and up and up and up and go out of the material world, enter the spiritual world, enter Goloka Vrindavan, take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, and there it will produce the fruit of prema. So if he doesn't have a creeper requires a very strong tree to grow up, to go up, it needs to take shelter. So devotee takes shelter of Guru and Krishna, who are in the spiritual world and in the material world also. Not exactly in the material world, but they manifest in this material world to help others to go there. So, this bhakti lata, bhakti, the cultivation of devotional service, is compared to a creeper. And that is to be watered by hearing and chanting about Krishna. So, a devotee may be engaged in the activities of devotional service, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns us that along with the creeper of devotional service, out of our consciousness may grow unwanted creepers, weeds. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives some example of those weeds. Nishedacha. Nishedacha kutinati. Jibe hingshan. Lab puja pratishtadi jato upashakagan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives some examples of weeds which might appear to be bhakti, but they're not. One may perform activities which are not approved, that are outside the, that are disapproved by Shastra and by the acharyas. So one may do that and think, I'm still doing bhakti. Or kutinati, or kutniti in modern Indian languages, except Bengali. It means duplicitous behavior. Kutniti. Translation is not acting straightforward. Saying one thing in order to win people's trust, but actually deliberately misleading them for some hidden motive of one's own. And jibe hingshan, jiva hingsa. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, commenting on this, says that the worst jiva hingsa is, or envy of other living beings, is to not preach Krishna consciousness. Even though one has knowledge of Krishna consciousness, to not preach it is the worst kind of violent activity against the fallen jivas. Then, in the name of devotional service, one may have the desire for money-making. Of course, money-making is required for developing facilities like temples and ashrams and printing books for the preaching of Krishna consciousness. But if one becomes concerned with money for money's sake, that you just like to make money in the name of bhakti, that is mundane, even if theoretically it's all for Krishna. So the desire to be honored and worshipped, that is mundane. And the desire to be fixed in some position, to identify with one's position. In other words, instead of thinking, I'm Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamala or Das Anu Das Anu Das, instead of thinking, I'm the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis. If one thinks, I'm a sannyasi, I'm bigger, I'm better than all the others, I'm in charge here, who the hell do you think you are? So if one has this consciousness and identifies with oneself more in terms of one's present designation in the service of Krishna than with the designation of being a servant of the servant of the servants of Krishna, then one is not actually cultivating Krishna consciousness in the proper way. It's not actually bhakti. It might look like bhakti. It might have all the trappings of bhakti, but it's not. So today on Nityananda Trayodashi, it is appropriate to remember Sri Nityananda Prabhu and pray for his mercy, that we may follow in his footsteps by preaching Krishna consciousness. Nirvishesh, this is one, we are also Nirvisheshvadis in this respect, without distinguishing between who is fit and who is not fit. Patra patra vicha nahi nahi sthana sthan. Jejaha pai tare deya premodan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, without discriminating between who might be fit and who is not fit, simply gave love of Krishna to whoever they came across. So, let us pray for that benediction to Nityananda Prabhu and remember his pastimes, qualities and character on this day. Of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita is not yet translated in Telugu. It's not yet translated, not yet published. It might be translated. So, and you also all have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you go on. Then it's better to go on to Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then you can spiritually enjoy the bliss of hearing about Nityananda Prabhu.